Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
He was an unbelievable coach. I loved him. Obviously, I had him my first couple years in the NHL. Went to Seneca Final with him. That's another fantastic candidate. If you're looking at those two guys, I'd be extremely happy with both. He brings a lot of firepower and energy with him. He was great for me. He really held me accountable as a rookie, as a young guy. And I wouldn't be the player I am without him today. So I like both those guys.
Alex Tuch speaking on the idea of Gerard Gallant. Also Lindy Ruff. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong here. And it's, again, it's about what these guys are asked. And I'm not mad that they got asked this. Can anyone remember 2 days after the coach got fired, the first conversations about the coach getting fired, the players vocally endorsing other candidates immediately as great ideas?
He was asked specifically about him in his defense, but...
I know. Don't you normally yeah, sure, we had a, you know, I mean, he did a lot for me in my career. I mean, it's not up to me. Whatever happens, I mean, that's... That is a, yeah. I'm Alex Tuch and I support this message, endorsement of, if it's one of those two guys, it would be great. It's not up to me.
He called it, I mean, Tuch, there's a reason for this, because he grew up a Sabres fan. He called it would be a dream come true if Lindy Ruff became their head coach.
Yeah. It just seems like, again, I don't mean it as any criticism of Tuch. It's the body is not cold on the last coach. He just got fired. First reaction, and... Every one of these players, sure, if you want to say they are echoing the GM, okay. But it was a unified message that we need to be challenged.
Right. From all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, how was Adam's tone the same that it was with them, that it was to the media with that stuff?
Oh, because it was much harsher.
maybe it was even much harsher than that. Like, I really wonder, like, how much of it was... Did they just get reamed out by the GM? Because if that had just happened, then I guess I could understand even more so why they sounded that way. That, you know, it's a bit of a scolding, maybe, on their part. And they understand it, but did they organically get to that conclusion? Or were they... Did they understand the conclusion, but it was given to them by the team? By people above them?
Well... If it's something that was given to them and they're just following orders and parroting what the GM said, they're certainly doing a very good job of it. That didn't sound, not too much of that sounded phony to me.
Yeah.
It sounded impassioned. It sounded like, yes, this is what we need. We need to be pushed harder. And Adams, right, again, it does fully echo what the GM said, but it's very, I think it's noteworthy. All of a sudden, all of the Sabres players have the answers. Yeah, this is what we need. That's right. Okay.
It's just such a change. You know, it's such a change of tune from them, right? Like, all year, they wanted to fight people on behalf of Granato. All year. They acted genuinely like they scoffed at the idea of there being any question about the head coach. And just, like, the day after, they're just... Yeah. It turned that quickly, that fast. Like, I understand arriving at this point at some time for them, but after a year of, we will fight you if you think that our coach is the problem, to the next day be like, oh yeah, look at all this stuff.
Let's consider who said that. Who was the most upset?
Darlene.
Why would he be upset?
Because Granato did a lot for him.
Saved his career might be a little strong, but brought him back to what he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then there's Tage. Tage, how do you feel about Don Granato? Like, he's the reason I have $50 million.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
You've got a lot of players that saw personal success, and I would think would be very grateful for their personal success. And it's also worth pointing out, you know, you got 20-whatever guys in a room, not all of them respond to the same coaching style. And you might have it where some players are good and can be coached and can hold themselves accountable and play the right way for any coach. And that same player might look and like the coach in the room and think, we need somebody else to get these other guys because this style doesn't work for those four over there. It does work for me. It doesn't work for him. And with that, you might know you need a change. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Talking about that, also talking about the Coyotes' last game at home. Would you go to a game that was the last of a franchise before they move? Could you bring yourself to go to KeyBank Center as the Sabres are saying goodbye?
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of tears in Arizona last night. Kind of wild. It does... Do I want to say this because it sounds really cynical? If Arizona's game was in a 19,000-seat arena, would it have been... as intimate and emotional? It was
probably
a 5,000. It's a college arena.
Probably not. Would it have been full, though, 19,000, if it's the last game?
It's not an answer we can have, but
I mean,
it's worth asking.
You can look back at other franchises and their last games. I actually did a little of this last night. Like, let me go find on YouTube the last moments of the Hartford Whalers. I mean, it's, you know, maybe a more natural hockey market at the time.
Yep.
That place was full and emotional and loud. I also, though, looked up Atlanta. Nothing.
How about...
Nothing at all. Not even what you got in Arizona last night. You got the tears from Arizona. Like, it was like a non-event in Atlanta when they left.
How about the Oakland A's?
I mean, they're not showing up at all, right? Are they averaging like 100 people a game?
Yeah. John Amarillo. John, good morning.
Yeah, hey, earlier on you guys were talking about culture and leadership and, you know, whatnot with the Sabres. And I don't know if you noticed, but, you know, once they traded Okposo, it seemed like a different team. And you were talking about, you know, guys, you know, needed to be held accountable. Well, Kyle Okposo should not have been in the NHL this year, okay? He's a nice guy. He was a fine, okay player while he was here. He was a step and a half behind everybody, okay? Everybody in that locker room knew it. And they had to follow his lead. What did Okposo bring to the table for us? Was he a hard checker? Was he a real good forechecker? Was he a good skater? Did he score us a bunch of goals? Did he muscle other people? What did he bring to the table? Oh, he was a good leader. Really? Really? He was Donnie's right-hand man, and I think that, you know, in my opinion as a player, you got guys playing on the ice that should not be there. He should have been the one up in the press box watching the games for more than 50% of the games this year. We had more talent in the press box than we did on the ice, and the players knew that. The players knew it, okay? It's hard to give your best effort when the management doesn't have the best 20 guys on the ice every night, and you got to follow the lead of someone who unfortunately couldn't play in the league anymore. Look at how many games he played for Florida since he's been traded. He played 5 games. He's been a healthy scratch.
Does he have a point yet?
Okay.
Nope.
No points.
No points.
Yeah. Thanks, John. The thing I think about here is, why do they bring him back? Leadership. Right. Kevin Adams talks about Gergensen's being special, and you can't trade him because he's special.
Mm-hmm.
He's important to the fabric of the team. Why did they sign Eric Johnson? Leadership.
Right.
It's almost, you don't often go this far on the leadership idea, but it's a little bit like toughness in a way. Should you have it? Yeah. You should probably have it from guys that can play.
Right.
If you have it, just Eric Johnson.
Your three worst players. Right? Arguably your three of your worst players are your leaders in that locker room.
Yeah, and they're brought in for leadership. It's
right.
A little bit like trying to reverse engineer it. Instead of, maybe they thought, young team, ready for expectations, let's make sure we have some adults in there because we're going to need those guys. And they might have provided a lot of leadership that we can't see. We're not in the locker room. But right, if you're leading off the ice but cratering them on the ice, like Eric Johnson, then I don't think it's worth it.
Didn't Eichel have a comment once upon a time about something like this? Was it maybe pointed at like Josh George's, like leaders on the team, like also need to be able to carry their own weight?
I don't remember that comment, but
I think there's a comment I'll have to find from like way back when. Like that's not been present. Like should it be that surprising that we are here after the season and every player is talking about their standard being raised when the leaders of the team were always the guys on the ice falling below the standard?
Right. And those guys
were the ones dragging you below the standard whenever they were out there.
They might be trying and putting the effort in, but if the guys can't play, it's yesterday we had a caller call us about Nick Deslauriers and wanting the Sabres to be tougher in that way. And it's not that you don't want the Sabres to be a little tougher, more sandpaper abrasive, but you don't want a guy with 4 points that craters them when he goes out there.
Right.
I don't want to have to sacrifice 8 minutes a night, 10 minutes a night, for some intangible. You get the intangible, the guy that can play.
Yeah.
Dan in Pittsburgh is up next. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I was calling in, honestly. I know Joe's, like, master big trade is for Stamkos this offseason. I wanted to call in and one-up him. Give a little let's get stupid.
Okay, into it.
So, the Penguins are so old right now. If we called them and offered up a lot of our farm for Crosby, I feel like they might be inclined to do it. I mean, obviously he's a legend out here and everything, but they are in desperate need of a youth movement, and we almost have too many prospects to even know what to do with. So I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
If this were a video game, I would I'd be into it.
You can make video game trades. He has a no move, and I think if I'm the Pittsburgh Penguins, there's no circumstance in the world he ever plays for another team.
I think that's my thought on it.
There are some players you just can't do it.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter. Nope.
And if they ever did arrive at the point to say, hey, we don't think it's going to work here, do you want one more shot at a Stanley Cup? And if he tells them yes, okay, like, all right, let's work together on a trade. They're not getting to the Sabres.
Right? No,
he's not getting to the Sabres.
Yeah, he's got a full no move.
Yeah. So, it's a fun idea. It might fit everything you might think they need. He was awesome this year.
Yes, he was.
But it just, you can offer them as many prospects as you want. It's just there's other factors that are going to stop it. And really, maybe it's not too different than Stamkos for that. Like, how realistic is it that Stamkos is going to come here? I mean, he's going to be available, which is the big difference, but that's probably unrealistic too. Again, all this, well, I guess Stamkos and Crosby, like, what are you trying to do? You're trying to find the leadership stuff that you think they need, raising the standard that they need with guys that can actually play the sport. And are they going to need that, or do you just need that to be internal? Because I tend to think that guys like that are unattainable for the Sabres, or sometimes just even bad ideas because of what you got to give up to get them at this age. So what's the best outcome? The best outcome is you just get it from the guys that are already in that locker room.
And this is where Kevin Adams comes in, because of course, like, he's going to hire the coach, and you address what to do about the players after the coach. First step towards whatever. You say the Stamkos idea, the Collars, Crosby idea, leadership. The first step is hire the coach that's going to make it so you can line up the moves behind the coach.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550. Thanks, Dan, for the phone call. We are a week away from the draft, NFL. Week away.
And from our draft party.
Draft party.
At Resurgence. Tickets are available. You can check out the link on our Twitters, at Sneaky Joe Sports for mine. It'll be a lot of fun.
Have you started to... I've got a poll today about trading up. Bills Mafia is trade-up hungry, right?
Yes.
I think we're make-a-move hungry.
Yep.
Want to see some commitment from being... Just do it. Do it. Even though it might not be the smartest thing to do on a asset management, whatever.
Uh-huh.
There's an article at NFL.com today about win-win trades, and it has the Chiefs going up to number 9.
That's the pick we've talked about for the Bills a lot.
Yeah.
That's the Bears pick?
That's the Bears.
Yep.
The Bears have 4 picks.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. 4 picks. So if you're trying to find a team to trade down with, the Bears are a good candidate. I saw a good point made about the Cardinals here, who are at 4. The Cardinals have the most draft capital in this draft.
Okay.
And one thing that they could decide to do is trade down and say, well, all right, why don't you give us some stuff next year? The Cardinals could basically, Joe, be in a spot to ensure themselves the most draft capital in each of the next 2 drafts if they play it right. You know, you have so much coming in this year, 4th overall. If you trade down to 11,
mm-hmm.
you can add an additional first next year. And then 2 years in a row, instead of trying to spend so much of it in 1 year,
mm-hmm.
you don't necessarily know all the same needs. Hey, push a little bit of that capital into next year. So maybe Arizona's a target for a trade down. But for the Bears, they only have 4 picks. And the trade up for the Chiefs at NFL.com is to go get potentially Brock Bowers, 9th. Replace
wow.
Kelsey. Replace Kelsey. Brock Bowers.
Not for a Dunze, for nope. for Brock Bowers.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
The article lays out it could be anybody, but Bowers is on the list at number 9. A Dunze is number 9, but maybe they decide, like, no, we're not going to spend that asset on a receiver. We're going to get the next great tight end in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the price tag for it is this, to move up with the Bears. It is 1st and 2nd and 4th and another 1st.
For a tight end?
For a tight end.
I think that's nuts. That's man, he's supposed to go around there, though, right?
He's supposed to go about 9 or 10.
Supposed to be great.
So the question I post in the Twitter poll, because this is my favorite way to ask this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cost. You know the cost. A 1st, a 2nd, a 4th, and a 1st. Which team would you rather see come on the screen... 9th overall, Bills or Chiefs? The reason I ask that, I need the most conservative, hey, it's not responsible to trade up person to answer that question, Chiefs. You have to do it. You don't get a choice, right? If you think it's irresponsible, then you not only don't want the Bills to do it, you should want the other team to do it.
Right.
Like it'll bury them a little bit because it's too much of a risk or it's too much to pay. If the cost is 1st, 2nd, and next year's 1st and 4th, which team would you rather see move up to number 9? 70% say Bills over Chiefs.
Mm. Yeah, it's almost another way of saying, like, you find out that's the Chiefs have offered that to the Bears. Chicago calls you and say, if you match it, we'll do it with you.
Yes.
Are you saying yes?
Do you want them to have this pick or do you want this pick?
I'm voting yeah. I want that pick. I want 9. I'm trading up and I'm going and getting a Dunze. I'm not letting them trade up that high. If you told me they could do him for a tight end, well, I guess, you know.
It's again, whoever the Chiefs want. You
it's
know?
Whoever the Chiefs want. I would want that graphic coming across to be the Bills. Like, come on. Let's go get your guy and don't let... What the Chiefs doing something like that, too, would... You know, it's just like, do they want it more than you? Like, there would just be that type of questioning around that just wouldn't feel great. Those types of feelings.
Can I tweak it a little bit?
Sure.
You're going to see the logo on the screen. It's Bills or Chiefs. The Bears call and say, we have an offer. Do you want to jump up here and take a guy? And Brandon Bean is deciding if he's going to do it for a defensive player. Do you still want to do it?
No. No, I do not want to do that. I do not want to do that. No. I'm turning a 1st, another 1st, a 2nd, and a 4th.
You're going up for a top 10.
To get Dallas Turner or something?
Yeah.
No, thank you. I'm not into that. Nope. Now, hold on. Tweak it again. The Chiefs are also going to grab a defensive player, right? Now I'm happy.
But we know
they've traded all the way up to 9 to draft Dallas Turner, and they've given all that capital. I'm into that. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Chiefs. Do that.
1 week out.
All in on defense. You won it last year with that. Go ahead. Act like you think that's the sole reason you won, or that you can sustain that, I guess, year to year.
Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550. Give us a call if you want. You can give us a call and chat about either the Sabres and locker cleanout and the coach pursuit or the Bills. 1 week out from the draft. When we get back, got a clip from Matt Harmon. He was talking to somebody about the perfect fit for the Bills, and it's not all the way up into the top 10. It's a name you've heard. Have Jordan Vanek lay it out. The best fit for the Bills. And as he lays it out, it's a pretty good case. That's next.
The player that I personally see them trading up for, if he just slips just enough, has got to be Brian Thomas Jr. Mm-hmm. Like, we've talked on Twitter about him kind of getting put in like a DK Metcalf route tree early on in his career, which is going to be very productive for the way he's built as a receiver, where it's a lot of curls and goes. Fun fact, Josh Allen, that's the two most targeted routes that Josh Allen has basically year in, year out, because teams are terrified of his big, strong arm. And if you add him to this offense, then you're looking at someone I see as just a very big upgrade over Gabe Davis. Obviously, it's not Stephon Diggs. That's not what they're going to be able to replace. It's not going to go the way that the Minnesota trade worked, where they just got Justin Jefferson for Stephon Diggs. But if you add him into this room, then you have the necessary pieces to be a very productive offense.
Jordan Vanek with Matt Harmon on Brian Thomas Jr. Big body, yards after catch. How about the specific route tree stuff there from Jordan Vanek? He'll be good at these two routes. Those are the routes Josh throws the most.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Thomas Jr. Jordan Vanek there with Roto Grinders and the 33rd team. See plenty of trade-up ideas for Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
For the Bills.
Did we call him yesterday their most likely pick?
We were discussing if you and a bunch of friends drafted receivers, and whoever got the guy the Bills gets wins, is Brian Thomas Jr. the first pick?
Right.
Because he could fall into their neighborhood. He does fit something they might want. It wouldn't be as expensive as the other guy.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Guys, that the big three...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he might be the first pick in a who are the Bills going to draft.
Yeah. The one big criticism of him is the numbers, right? The yards per route run is low for him, not as low as Adonai Mitchell. I respect that argument that a lot of the data people are not in on Brian Thomas for that reason. The one thing that I have, though, in my head about Thomas, and maybe Mitchell, too, to a lesser extent on this front, or it may be the same, how do you get the anomaly? There's a long list of guys that have a bad yards per route run number in college that just didn't turn into anything. Jonathan Mingo in Carolina, nothing in his rookie year. Tyquan Thornton's on this list. Like, it's just a bunch of guys that have done nothing in the league, and then there's DK Metcalf. How do you get to be the anomaly? And how do you get to be a legitimate, good NFL wide receiver, great NFL wide receiver with production like that? And if I'm chasing the Metcalf comp, what did Metcalf have that Brian Thomas also has? In fact, they're two of only three receivers ever to run a sub 4.35 being 6'3 or bigger. You got to have not just great athleticism, you've got to have historic athleticism to overcome or to achieve numbers in the NFL when you didn't in college, if you're looking at the Metcalf comparison. And Thomas did that. It's him, Adonai Mitchell, and Metcalf. They're the only guys to run that fast at that size. And the other thing I might need, an explanation for, okay, some logic behind how didn't you get the ball as much. And in both circumstances, well, this guy over here had 1,200 yards, and it's college football. A.J. Brown had back-to-back 1,200-yard seasons at Ole Miss. Malik Nabers was at LSU. I got comparables there of, I've got freak athletes that were behind stud receivers in college, and can I get Thomas to be the next anomaly like Metcalf was? I think there's enough backing that idea that he can still be a great pro despite the fact that it didn't really fully translate in college.
1 week out, I'm Brian Thomas of LSU. He took only 13% of his snaps from the slot in the sample that Matt Harmon did. He's a boundary receiver. Something the Bills need is a boundary receiver. And he might not be the perfect prospect to be a future number one, but it's laid out there in the clip for Jordan Vanek. What they need is someone.
Yeah.
Someone to complete what this offense could potentially do. So, to me, it makes plenty of sense to go Brian Thomas Jr., big play, number two receiver. The obvious question becomes, if he is not going to be a number one, how desperately will the Bills seek having a new number one? Before Diggs, they didn't have it. With Diggs, they had it for four straight years.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, the idea of just replacing that, that's easier said than done. Not every team just goes out and gets one of those guys.
Right.
So you could chase it. You could find it somewhere along the way. Maybe you draft a guy in the fourth round and he blossoms and everything's great. But
yeah.
I kind of don't think the Bills, if they're moving up to the top 10 for one of the big three, all right, then you're gunning for a true number one. I don't think if you take Brian Thomas, you're really gunning for that so much as what he can deliver immediately.
The thing I like more about him, by the way, than Mitchell, is he's got like that quick twitch. Like, ball in his hands, you just see him step around guys.
Yeah.
And Mitchell is not going to be that guy. Which is fine. He could still be a great pro doing that, but Thomas just feels like he's got every tool in the tool bag. He just might need the right quarterback and coaching staff to bring it out of him. But because, again, he's a historic level athlete for the position. That, like, if I can get that to come to fruition, like, you might hit a massive home run without having to go into the top 10.
So on Brian Thomas Jr., going to get a call in here in a moment, but Tyler Dunn, GoLongTD.com, he has Bob McGinn's draft series. He's done it for 40 years, Bob McGinn has done. He talks to scouts, formerly did it for the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Bob McGinn Football, and now for Tyler. And his scouting report of Brian Thomas Jr., again, like, maybe you've been listening the couple times when we went back to great receivers and the things that were said about them. Everybody's got warts on their scouting report. They pour through film. They pick you apart. What's wrong with him? So here's the few knocks on Brian Thomas Jr. from Bob McGinn. That he's got a lot of potential to be a true number one X. But he writes, Bob McGinn, I can't stand the way he plays. I do not like his disposition. He's the classic. He's running and the first down marker is 3 yards away from him. He steps out of bounds a yard short. I don't know if I'd call him timid inside, but he's definitely not rugged. If someone has him ranked way higher than me, I get it. But most of the guys in the top 10 at wideout are high-level competitors. I would say he's not. That's just one scout, what they relay to Bob McGinn. That maybe he's not a dog the way that you would want.
Yeah.
And that's something, of course, the Bills are going to look for. Here's a funny thing. Who are they replacing? Gabe Davis, their Iron Bill workout warrior team captain, does everything. They love him more than anything in the world. They let him go because they couldn't afford him. And who's the other guy they're replacing? Diggs, who, put aside what people say about, he's a problem, the hardest worker the team has ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, in a different way. Driven competitor to a fault.
Yeah.
You got to replace those two. So maybe the Bills are in there keying in on these receivers. There's all the tangibles and the 40 times and the, you know, the size. And then there's the, does he play like every play is his last? Is he going to give us 100% every single play? Because this team, Joe, has had issues with players they've drafted in practice habits. Whether that's Kyir Elam, who can't get on the field because of what, how he practices? And then James Cook. Along the way, James Cook kind of had to learn how to practice right. Feels like that was a conversation where it was about learning how to be that kind of player. So I think it's definitely in the mix for the Bills, and that gives me pause. If they think that, again, one scout thinks that, the Bills might not think that at all. James in Derby. Hey, James, good morning.
Hey, how you doing? I'm a huge proponent of doing a massive trade-up in the first round. Even something crazy like going up to like 4 to get Marvin Harrison Jr. But my question is if the Bills do that and they're able to get one of the big three receivers, how would the rest of the league view that? Would it be looked at as like an A grade, or would it be kind of looked at as, oh, you traded your future for a question mark and we already have good receivers on this team, might not be the best value to do it?
You mean if the Bills traded for Marvin Harrison Jr., would the league say you didn't have to do that, you already have good receivers?
Right, or, you know, there's other options there, you know. If a year later Ladd McConkey ends up being the best receiver out of the draft, I mean, it's going to be a huge waste of resources to do that. But
thanks, James. I would say it only comes down to whether or not the Bills win, you know.
Yeah.
If you win, it was great. And I definitely don't think that the league would look at it and say, you already had good receivers. I don't think this receiving room scares anybody in the league.
Nope.
Right now. Samuel's nice. Shakir looks really nice. Kincaid looks really nice. But it's not a skill group that I think, you know, puts fear in the hearts of defensive coordinators.
No.
If they got Marvin Harrison Jr., you'd see a graphic says who stops this offense, right? Like, I mean, he would elevate them. There were some scouts that thought Marvin Harrison Jr. could have been a number one receiver in the NFL last year.
Yes. If he had come out last year, he might not have been eligible.
If he had just been in the NFL,
yeah.
He would have been capable of being a number one receiver on some teams.
Yeah.
Like, he would have been Carolina's number one receiver last year.
You mentioned the Cardinals, like maybe they could trade down and have the most draft capital in back-to-back drafts. Wouldn't they be nuts not to draft him?
I think so.
You're the Cardinals. The guy's you're going to have a statue in front of your stadium of that guy one day. You've done nothing in your franchise's history. You can go get the superstar like that. Just don't even mess around. Just draft him. You've already got a quarterback, too, right? Like him and Kyler Murray, he'll catch 1,500 yards this year if they just throw it all the time. I think they'd be crazy not to, you know, just draft him at number 4, assuming it goes quarterback 1, 2, 3.
Is it going to go quarterback 1, 2, 3?
Is New England weird now? Because I'm seeing more and more. The draft's got to get here, right? Like, we've been staring at this for far too long. You see, you mentioned Bob McGinn, part of his story yesterday about Adonai Mitchell being type 1 diabetic and, like, whether or not he takes care of it or, like, the maturity stuff and everyone freaking out about that. Just, we got to get to the draft. New England, the things I've seen in recent days is, and this has been kind of out there for months, do they feel like they're ready for the quarterback? Would they not? Would they not pick it just because they don't want the quarterback placed in an offense where they think it's just going to be him alone, and that that's going to be bad for development or whatever?
I can't believe anybody with a anybody makes that point. We're not ready for the quarterback.
Right, I'm hearing that. That's what the Bills got talked about when they didn't draft Mahomes.
Right.
It's
among the most ridiculous things you could possibly say.
Uh-huh.
The Bills in that case were picking 10th.
Right. A little different.
You're picking 3rd.
Mm-hmm. And seemingly a good quarterback class. It's not the Kenny Pickett year where there's nobody worth it.
I can't even believe a team could say we're not ready for the quarterback. Then don't play him. Fine. Mm-hmm. Take him. You're not going to be here again. Oh, maybe you are, I guess. We are not ready for the quarterback. I can't even... It's the same kind of thing that's, well, Caleb Williams is going to want to not go to Chicago because the organization's a disaster. What do you think the teams that pick number one are?
Yeah.
They're in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he went to the Jaguars. Wow, that beacon of success. Oh, he went to the... Who else has been drafting first over the years?
Burrow to the Bengals.
The Bengals were
a train wreck.
I mean, they did have a lot of good years there with Andy Dalton.
Kyler Murray.
Arizona.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the worst team in the league. They're not supposed to look good.
Right. But I'm not defending... Like, I think it's ridiculous, too, that any team would ever arrive at that point. Does New England... Would New England act on that because they feel like it just happened to them? Do they feel like Mac Jones was on an island on an offense and that's why he isn't on the team anymore and isn't their quarterback?
Sure.
I think that's nonsense. I think he's not their quarterback anymore because he's not that good.
He also was on an island, which is their fault.
Right.
It's like the meme of, you know, the guy in the hot dog suit. We're all trying to figure out who did this.
Right.
You did it.
But that's the talking point I've seen, which is Mayo knows that it's just going to happen again if I plug this quarterback right in away. I've got to build around it before I plug him in.
Okay. So what I've got to do is build an entire team and waste, 2 years to build an offensive line and skill positions that I'm ready to take a quarterback in. And now I'm picking 14th 2 years from now and I got fired. It's insanity. Of course they should take a quarterback at 3. And if it just happened to them with Mac Jones, they should take another one in 2 years if Drake May flames out because they weren't good enough around him.
Right. Especially if it's Drake May.
What do the Bills have around Josh Allen in his rookie year?
Oh, geez, nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, my, nothing
Calvin
at all.
Calvin Benjamin, Robert Foster.
They remade the receiving core halfway through because it was so bad.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Did C.J. Stroud, did they have it all built around him? With the second pick last year,
mm-hmm.
Nico Collins, Tank Dell. These guys are not household names yet.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. If New England does that, then good luck.
Oh, I'll be glad for it if they don't pick. If especially Jaden Daniels is the heavy favorite right now to go second. If it's Drake May on the board and New England passes, I mean, I like May. Well, you never know, but I think that will be insane if they don't draft Drake May.
Jaden Daniels, you want to talk about like some of the advanced numbers? Jaden Daniels has some unbelievably horrific numbers on his passing, how often he just scrambles. Like, what percentage of the time does Jaden Daniels stand and deliver?
Uh-huh.
It's like 36% of his dropbacks.
That he scrambles?
That he stands and delivers on 36.
Oh, that he stays like in the...
Yes.
That's wild.
So many of the scouting reports are the eyes drop and he just runs. His eyes drop and he scrambles. And, man, I would not be touching it.
I saw him compared to, he's Jalen Hurts light, I saw yesterday.
All right. Have you seen Lamar comparisons? Not close, I don't think.
No.
Justin Fields, okay, mobile guys,
I guess. One might be better because doesn't Fields, like, bolt out of the pocket at
Fields
every given chance and take sacks?
Very, very bad at that, yes.
Yeah.
Fields takes sacks.
Yeah.
And a quarterback that takes a lot of sacks is a red flag. 803-0550. And 1-888-550-2550. You can join us. We'll chat some Sabres. Paul Hamilton, 8:30 on locker cleanout from yesterday. And more to come. 1 week until our draft party. Join us. We'll be at Resurgence. Come hang out. We're going to have, you know, drinks, games, trivia, the wide receiver big board, Thursday night, draft night.
Pizza.
TVs, pizza, volume up, good times. And we'll see if the Bills get it done. They did have a running back in for a visit yesterday.
Another
running back. I don't think he's a first or second round pick though, so it's fine.
All right,
it's good.
Well, they've already had the top running back in, so they couldn't do that again.
They did. That's right. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
I've got the train horn blowing, man. The brakes on the wide receiver train are not working.
3 years they've been telling me about boards.
To hell with boards.
Throw them out.
We're done with boards.
We're done with their boards.
It is going downhill.
You're loading coal into the engine block.
We are full steam ahead.
And I'm pulling the horn.
That's right.
Take that receiver.
No boards, all trains.
We are on the wide receiver train today, baby. Let's go.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Have an alert for you. Wide receiver train alert. Media day at One Bills Drive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not on the train, it's okay. A lot of juicy stuff coming today. You ready for this? Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
First comments on no digs.
Yeah.
Let's go. We will carry Brandon Bean live at 11 a.m. The other juicy part of this, Joe, is you and I have a bet. Will he say the words... The phrase, will Bean say, wide receiver train?
He's not going to say it.
$25 I win if he does.
He's not going to say it.
Brandon.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'll give you 10.
That's not how this works.
What?
Collusion.
Hey. It's not how this works.
Yeah. $25 I win if he says it.
If I see a Schmenmo payment to B. Bean from Jay White on that app later.
Yeah. Anyway, Bean, McDermott, Allen today. They have, of course, phase one of offseason workouts. The Bills have been working out, not throwing footballs against defensive backs. Defensive backs not allowed to catch balls from anybody. Whatever. But anyway, they're going to speak today at 11 o'clock. Bean's at 11 o'clock live, and we'll hear from – so a lot coming. Josh Allen's –
yeah.
Statement on Diggs. Life without Diggs, your relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
McDermott on that, you know.
It's more likely Allen will name the receivers again than Bean. I think it's more likely Allen would say wide receiver train than it is that Bean would.
Juicy. Either way, that's today. So stay tuned. 11 o'clock this morning, Brandon Bean will carry the press conference live. Sabres locker clean-out thoughts, more of that coming for you. Paul Hamilton at 8:30, 1 week from the draft. It's a sunny-ish overcast Thursday, and the Arizona Coyotes have gone away as well. We were talking about that a little bit this morning as they said goodbye in the desert last night. Arizona off to Salt Lake. When are we finding out that team name? Let's get
on
that.
No, that's good. I haven't even seen odds for it. I haven't seen candidates. They had a survey, I guess, but I haven't seen anything about the survey. Again, the only comment the owner made was that he likes Golden Eagles, but didn't we kind of pick that apart? Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're not going to be Golden Eagles when Golden Knights is one state away. And then Eagles is already a sports team. So the one name the owner mentioned doesn't even make any sense.
803-0550, give us a call if you'd like. 1 week out from the draft, Sabres locker clean out. Plenty going on here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.